This is going to be my last class, and we'll be having Pastor Evelyn, who will talk about and teach on healing. Okay, so this is we're going to wrap it up for the section of this class that talks about the prophetic. And I just want to kind of run a couple things by you guys. I'm going to kind of test you on some things that we've already learned. And today I'm going to be talking about guidelines and understanding personal prophecy. We talked about at the beginning about what the prophetic is, what the spirit of prophecy is, what the gift of prophecy is, and what the office of the prophet is, and what prophecy entails. And there are three things that prophecy should do. And I'm going to ask you, if you could tell me, anybody remember what prophecy should do? There are three words. Exhort. Edify. One more. It's comfort. Edify, exhort, and comfort. Okay, that's what prophecy should do. Okay, when we're moving in the realm of prophecy, we talked about the office of the prophet that would also move in counsel, also move in, I don't want to use the word judgment, but because that's kind of harsh, but words of counsel and words of affirmation, they're words that are established, okay? So tonight I'm going to talk about guidelines now for a prophetic protocol in the local church, okay? Protocol is a code of correct conduct, okay? And according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 32, this is the Living Bible. It says, remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself or wait his turn. God is not one who likes things done disorderly and upset. He likes harmony, and he finds it in all the churches. We've been talking about the prophetic and how it can work in the local church and how it should be governed for the protection of the body of Christ and also for the protection of the person that is ministering the prophetic. So that's why protocol is very important. Amen. It's very important that we understand the flow of things. And sometimes there's kind of erroneous beliefs that we're trying to control the Holy Spirit. We could never do that, you know, but we can govern our movements. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, okay? And he is not going to force anything on you. God would never force anything on you. It's actually our decision, our choice, if we even want to serve God, if we want to be a child of God. That's a decision that we have to make in our life. So he's not going to force us. He will draw us by his love. He said, I will draw you with my tender loving kindness. Amen. So he's a God that just wants to show his love to us. And so it's important that we have that in the local church, that we have understanding. We have classes like this so that you can understand and have knowledge of it. And then we have ministers that are trained in it and know how to govern their gift that's in the inside of them, because it's so important. I think we talked about this, that, you know, words are for times and seasons, okay? And so when we get a prophetic word, if we don't understand where we're at, sometimes it can affect us. Not that long ago, someone received a prophetic word that the Lord said not to be afraid, because God was going to put them in another job. And they were very upset by that because they had a job already. But one thing that they did not know was that they were going to get laid off. But God had already comforted them. God had already said, don't worry, because I have a job for you coming up. Okay? So that person, when they received the word, became alarmed. And that's why you have to also prepare yourself when you receive prophetic ministry. If there is things that need to be healed in your heart, if there's some things that need to be delivered, you need to be delivered from in your mindset, then sometimes that could be an obstacle to receiving what God is saying to you. especially if you haven't ventured into a relationship with him to understand that all things work out for the good of those who love him according to his purpose for our lives. And, you know, a purpose is, what purpose means is why you exist. A purpose of something is why it exists. Amen. So it's really important that we prepare ourselves and so that we can understand when we receive prophecy. Okay. The way that there can be harmony when there's a mutual respect and honor for it, when you respect it. I see people, they come to get prophetic ministry and they're so angry or they're so focused on something that they cannot receive what God wants to say. Maybe you think you need to know right now something, but God needs to tell you this first. And so it's not supposed to be used for divination. Okay, it's not, you know, divinate what's going to happen in this situation. You know, I just want to put it this way. It's like you cheating yourself out of a relationship with God. Okay, when you always have someone telling you what God says, you are cheating yourself on really coming into connection with God and who he is. And many times in my life, when if I'm going through something, you know, I ask God a question and then he'll send someone to me. Or someone will send me a text, or someone will get in connection with me and tell me what God says if I'm not hearing him for myself. So that's really how it should flow, not just us going for prophecy. And you know what? If you don't get healed, if you don't get that rejection broke off your life, if you don't get that fear and intimidation off of your life, you could never receive a prophetic word. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes you. I had a lot of fear, a lot of rejection in my life. And when God called me to move out of my state, that was very intimidating for me. I was a person that was happy to live and be born and live in Saginaw, Michigan the rest of my life. And I thought that was just it for my life. And so when God asked me to move out, that was so against what I wanted to do. But one of the things that I realized that he's always been there for me. And that he knows my life. He knows what he planned for my life. He knows the reason why I exist. So I went by faith out of my state into another state. And God began to continually move me forward as I began to connect to what he was saying for my life. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't look like you're going the way, but God knows how to get you there. Okay. Understanding personal prophecy. Personal prophecy can consist of past, present, and future. Obedience to the Lord will allow him to form and shape you into the word that has been given to you. In Luke 1:31-33, the prophetic word that Mary received from the messenger sent by God is a good example to illustrate timing and obedience. Okay? For example, it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive." That happened immediately when he began to prophesy to her. And bring forth a son. And we all know that takes 9 months, right? And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And that's eternal. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That took 30 years later, okay? So I want you to understand, when you receive a word from God, It may be talking about your past, or it may be talking about your right now or your future. And it may be talking about your immediate or maybe 10 years from now. So you have to be willing to hear from God. See, God doesn't have a calendar like we do. He doesn't have 24 hours in a day. He's eternal. Okay? So when he talks to us, he talks to us about segments of our life. Okay? Our journey and our life. And here as we see it in the life of Mary, what a woman, I'm talking about, what a woman to believe that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You know, that is like against all odds. You know, that's just not natural. That's supernatural. But when God spoke it, she became pregnant. Okay? So if you're going to believe Jesus on the cross, you have to believe Jesus in the womb of Mary. Amen. That God spoke him into existence, into her womb. And she said, let it be unto you, to me as you have said. That, to me, that's so powerful. And that's, sometimes we have to come to that place to tell God, let it be unto me what you have said. Amen. And allow him to walk us through that process. The key thing was obedience, right? She was obedient to God. At that time, there were babies being killed. But God had said that she was going to have this baby. But the odds were that baby was going to be killed because that's what was happening. But she still held on to what God had said to her. No matter what the circumstances were, no matter what other people that didn't know God or was not connected to God's plan had to adhere to, she had that baby, and even though it was said that all the boys had to be killed, or all the babies, baby boys had to be killed, she held on to that prophetic word. She held on, and God continually spoke to her and told her when to leave certain places so that Jesus would not be found. Hello, are you receiving that? Are you understanding that? How important that we need to look in the Word of God to see how prophecy affected people. The people that received it, the people that obeyed what God wanted them to do, or said God, or didn't say, God, I can't do this, but they said unto God, okay, what you said, let it be unto me. Amen. And so here God promised this child and promised that this baby was going to be the savior of the world. So she had to hold on to what this word said, greater than any circumstance, greater than any death threat. She had to continue to walk and hear God's voice in the matter. Amen. So when you receive prophecy, and what I mean about obedience, if God says, for instance, you're going to have a church, he doesn't want you to get up tomorrow morning and go get a church license, okay? He's just telling you what he's going to do. Who? He's going to do it. But if he gives specific directions, I mean he, to your spirit, where it's going to be or what you must do to get there. I look at the life of Joseph. He got an awesome prophetic dream, and it was accurate. But when he began to tell his brothers, they began to become angry. But you have to look at this whole situation. He was spoiled. He was the youngest. It was known that the father favored him over all the kids. So you have to see that as well. The brothers became angry. Okay, you're the spoiled one. You don't work as hard as we do. And now we're going to bow to you. Okay. You know, they were upset by that. Okay? But the prophetic word was true. But it didn't happen overnight. Joseph, that was very immature of him to do that. To tell this dream. When God releases a word to us, it should be personal. It should be something intimate. It should be God's secret and yours. Amen. And a lot of people make mistakes by telling everybody what God said to them, and then that's how you got the persecution going on. That's how you provoke other people to be jealous of you because of you speaking this out, what God meant for you and him to walk out together. Amen. I'm sure Mary didn't go out and tell all her girlfriends that she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't think she wouldn't have made it because they were killing baby boys at that time. You know, so it's something intimate between you and God, and that's the beauty of it. Amen. That's the communication between you and God, that he's evolving things and he's showing you things, and it won't make natural sense because it's heavenly sense. You know, it's heavenly sent. So you're not going to sometimes understand it. But again, God is not wacky, like tomorrow you're going to go open a church. No, he's going to form you with that word. He's going to form and fashion you with that word and take you to different places, like Joseph had to go to different places, not only to straighten out his character or straighten him out, but it was also so that he would be connected at the right place and at the right time. Okay? So from the jail to second in command is a big jump, wouldn't you say? But see, it doesn't make sense. Why do you want me to go to jail? You know, why do I gotta be tempted by this woman and be put in jail? That doesn't make natural sense, correct? You know, so God had a plan, and sometimes it does not look like our current circumstance. But you have to be willing to walk through those processes, because I'm a defender of prophecy, because I believe we hear more bad sermons than we hear more bad prophecies. Okay, because prophecies, people don't like the word they get because it's not connected to their plan or their current desire. Prophecies are to come to let you know God's heart. And I'm telling you, God's heart is always good, as we see in the life of Joseph. He was able to save his family. He was able to save his people. Amen. We look at those things, like for Esther too. We look at the life of Esther. Esther, she was mentored by her uncle, and she had to be obedient and listen to things. And she was positioned in a high place for such a time as this. Amen. Prophecy is not just for you, it's for your generations. It's not just for you, but it's for your region or whatever you were called, or the reason why you exist to be or to do on the earth. It's for that, because our lives are bigger than us. It's bigger than us, and we have to. Prophecy will allow you to expand even your thought life about yourself. Okay, all right. Prophecy requires your cooperation, participation, and yielding to faith, prayer, seeking Him, fasting, and reading of His word. Trying to figure out or reason or manipulate the word spoken over you will only lead to delay, error, and disappointment. And we see that in the life of Sarah. What a major mistake she made by trying to make the prophecy come true that she would have a son. She said, well, she looked at her own condition. She looked at her own disability instead of looking at the God that spoke it to her ability. And she said, go and be with the concubine. And so they had Ishmael. And we see that even today there's wars because of that decision of trying to make a prophecy come true. I tell you, you don't have to make prophecy come true, because it's not God telling you what to do. He's telling you what He's going to do through you. But you're going to go through a process to be able to be formed in that. Amen. Okay, responding to personal prophecy. This is how you should respond to personal prophecy. You should write it down in Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Amen. So it's good to write down your prophecies, and nowadays we can record them. I like recording them and writing them down, because I want my great grandchildren to be able to read the journey of my life in reference to God speaking to me and the changes that were made through those prophetic words. Always do your homework as a believer. Seek God, wait on Him, fast, pray, and test the word. You have an ability as a son of God to do all of the above and not depend on the prophetic word alone. 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21 in the Living Bible says, do not scoff at those who prophesy, but test everything that is said to be sure it is true. And if it is, then accept it. That's plain and simple. Do not despise prophecy. Don't despise prophecy. Wait on the Lord. Don't do anything different unless specifically directed and it bears witness with your spirit man. This is why it's important to cultivate your personal relationship with the Lord. And that's, you're going to hear me like a broken record. Personal relationship with the Lord. Personal relationship with the Lord. When you see me, that's all you're going to hear. Personal relationship with the Lord. Because that's so important. We miss that. Even with the gifts of the Spirit, we miss the relationship with God. All those gifts are just to know God's heart. Okay? We already know his ability because we're here. He created us. He gave us healing. He gave us deliverance. He gave us the prophetic. He gave us miracles because he loves us. Amen. So we can move in the gifts and not even have a relationship with God. Not have that compassion and love, because once you've been loved, then you can give love out. And all of these should be based on love. All the gifts of the Spirit, the base or the foundation in which it is expressed should be love. Not self-love, love. Love for people. Love for God. Even God even exhorts us in his word and says, how can you say you love me and you don't love those that you see? Right? So it's important that we're not just looking for our ministry or looking for what to bring us fulfillment, but that we understand that our lives are important for our generation, for our children, and for humanity. Amen? It says, you will know his voice, and no other voice would you turn to. Isaiah 40 and 31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Even though it looks like someone else has the place the Lord spoke over you, wait. It is never going to look like we think. We need to wait on the Lord to direct our path. He is the one leading us and knows how to get us there and where it is we are going. And I just can't emphasize that enough. The Lord says, be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing is nothing, right? Don't be anxious. Anxiousness sometimes can clog our hearing and also cause us to reject the present word that God has for us. Okay? Not waiting will produce negative results. It is important to remember that being disobedient will cause you to miss the appropriate timing of God. This will sometimes result in a longer wait or an unfulfilled prophecy. Some scripture examples are as follows, and that's the children of Israel waiting, wandering in the desert. That's Numbers 14, verses 26 to 33. Again, Abraham and Sarah producing Ishmael, whose name means wild thing. Wild thing. You make my, just kidding. That's Genesis 16. Okay, it says, allow the Lord to shape and form us. Many times we cannot see ourselves in the prophetic word that has been released over us. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verses 6 to 7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's important to allow the Lord to confront and eliminate hindrances from our lives. Erroneous mindsets, soul blockages, soul ties, poor self-image, inflated self-image, pride, blame shifting, self-justification, people-pleasing, self-preservation, carnal reasoning, and procrastination to be able to see the fulfillment of your prophetic word. Okay, this is very important. We have to allow God to eliminate hindrances in our life. Sometimes it's a mindset that we think blocks us from seeing where God wants to take us. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me why I have to leave the city that I lived in all my life. It doesn't make sense for me to be in a city I don't know. I've never lived around a bunch of cornfields, you know, all those kind of questions that come to your head. This is not going to make sense to you, because God knows exactly where you will be effective. He knows exactly what he's put in the inside of you. We cannot see it without God. God knows it, and we could never think on that course or in that way without him. Okay, Isaiah 64 and 8, it says, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are formed by your hands. Amen. That's easy to say, but hard to stay on that wheel sometimes, isn't it? But no matter how much we get off the wheel, God sends his word. And I want you to know, the Bible is the sure word of prophecy. The Bible can speak to you present, past, present, and future. When you get the word and you're thinking about something, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be thinking something and I open the word and the Lord just speaking right back to me with his word. Amen. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit brings life. The spirit of God brings life to the word and causes it to be active in you in your present time and your present situation. Amen. Isaiah 45:9 says, woe to the man who fights with his creator. Does the pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with him who forms it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Or the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? I think not. I think not, right? He knows what he's making. He knows what he's forming. But I believe the biggest challenge to the body of Christ is really walking in that sonship and that oneness with God as friend. You know, that God has taken down the veil. He's taken whatever separated us from us. And I love when he says, come boldly before the throne room of grace, right? Because, you know, if you understand kingship, when you go before a king, if he doesn't extend his scepter to you, you're dead. And so he's telling us, my scepter's already extended to you. So anytime you want to come in here, I want you to come in here, right? I want you to come and speak to me. I want you to share what's on your heart because it's already extended to us. Amen. We don't have to wait to get good to go before God. Right? We have to break that erroneous thinking. Well, I'm not this or that, or I'm not this. Or even if you go with a hard heart, I've gone to God with a bad attitude because he knew it already. Right? It's not hidden from him. That's truth. You know, just like the Samaritan woman, when Jesus went to her and he said, where's your husband at? You know, and she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You have five husbands, you know. And right there, she was like, I perceive you're a prophet, you know, because he knew what was going on with her, but he did not reject her. See, he had just asked her for a glass of water. Okay, and she was shocked about that. Well, you know, I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't really deal with us. Because they were a sect that had gotten together and were against Jesus or the Jews. And so he asked her for a glass of water, and she was like shocked. And, you know, because there was like a silent rule about them not talking, she probably thought, wow, he's a rebel. He asked me for water. He don't care what people think. You know, you have to really go in these stories. Don't be so religious when you read the Bible. You know, look on truthfully. It was the Jews did not talk to the Samaritans, let alone a woman. And so she was lawless, having five husbands, right? And so when he broke the law in her mind, right? Well, he broke the wall. He's asking me for some water, so he's cool. I can talk to him. You know, I can share. You know, I'm going to share with him because she had heard about Jesus, what he was doing, healing and everything like that. So she's like, well, I'll be darned. This king, the king of the Jews that everybody's mocking about, he's right here talking to me, and he's asking me for some water. So she was like intrigued and vulnerable to him. Because why? He was vulnerable to her, right? And so he asks for the water to her. And you know, right? God doesn't do things for nothing. There's always something. He's such an orchestrator. That's why we can't figure it out. And that's why we have to let him figure things out sometimes. So, see, in the word of God, it says, if you give a prophet a glass of water, you will receive a prophet's reward. Isn't that true? Is that the word? Okay, so he asked her for water. So right there, it activated a spiritual law. Okay? So she was open for a blessing. So he began to talk to her, and then she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And he tells her, this is in John 4, so you can go home and read that. And he tells her, he says, when she began to say that he was a prophet, he began to talk to her and tell her about this living water, that she won't thirst anymore. See, this was all like foreign to her because, she was thinking natural-minded, okay? And so they began to converse with each other, and he says, I can give you water that you won't thirst anymore. She said, well, I want some of that water because I don't like going out there. You don't know how they persecute me. They're talking about me out there. I want to be able to not thirst no more and not have to go out there. So she's still thinking humanly minded, and all the time he's orchestrating salvation in her life. See how it was necessary? The Bible says it was necessary for Jesus to go into Samaria. So God had an appointment with her. And see, God has appointments with you that sometimes you don't realize. I'm just in this class. I want to see what it's about. And you're not realizing it's a divine appointment. It's a connection to a road that God's going to have you on. Amen? And so he says, if you only knew the gift and who it is that's telling you this. Okay, that's two different things. A gift and who. The gift was the gift of prophecy, and the who was the Son of God. Isn't that powerful? So he was telling her how powerful when God speaks into your life, it's going to be changed. So they're conversing and stuff. And so after she perceived he was a prophet and that Jesus had accepted her talking with her, he told her exactly the same thing that they were talking to her, talking about her in that area. The other women were talking, look at that woman, she's had so many men in her life. And so he told her the same thing, but there was something different. There was living water flowing back and forth in their conversation. There was a door open because she gave him a glass of water. There was a door open now, supernaturally, to deliver her and to set her free. Okay? And the Bible says that she went and evangelized her city. See how purposeful that moment was? But sometimes we get so analytical, we get so fearful, we get so common and so self-righteous sometimes, and we get a word and we're over there trying to try the prophet. Mm-hmm, let me see if they get it right. I'm not even going to wink. I'm not going to wink. And you know you want to cry, but you're not going to wink. I want to see if they have a true word for me. Instead of just saying, God, you tell me, you talk to me through this donkey. He's just looking for a donkey, you know, just to speak through him. And you know what? I really believe that if someone means wrong to me, they will not be able to minister to me. Because I asked God to speak to me. And if it was something that was not of God, my spirit has a discernment that God gives us as believers to discern. Amen? You're a discerner, you're a knower, not your analyticaler thingy there. That likes to devise and put things together. Amen? So, this class is just to give you the understanding of each of the spiritual gifts that operate here at Life Church so that you have an understanding for its purpose, the reason why it exists, the reason why God gave us the gift of prophecy, the reason why God has given us healing, the reason why that it's our benefit. And that it is our DNA as spirit-filled believers. These are the things that should operate in us and through us and for us. Amen? So on tonight, I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions, and then we're going to go on to the next part of the class where I have a team that is here from Life Church, and they have had a background check, so don't worry about that. They have background checks. They have been in classes for several years. And one of the things I want you to know is that they've been taking the class over and over again. And that took obedience. And that took submitting to it. And that took not trying to reason in their own mind. Should I take the class again? They've continuously taken it until it's been a part of their DNA. And sometimes you do have to keep taking it. And I just want to be honest with you. It took me a long time to understand the difference between the gift of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy. I don't know why. But now it's so simple to me, but I just could not. And there was a blockage there. There was a blockage in my mind. And I took the class 3 times, and not here, and in the church that I had come from. And I just, there was a barrier there that just made me like blank out on what the two were. And so I understand when, if you don't understand right away when you're being taught this, because there's a lot of foundation here that needs to get turned upside down and cleaned up. A lot of do's and don'ts that we were told, a lot of not or lack of teaching of it. So I just want to be transparent with you so you can understand your walk with the Lord. Sometimes it's not going to be right away. Sometimes it's going to take a while to get healed, number one, to get healed, to get your mind renewed, get your whole persona in alignment with what God wants for your life. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a journey. It takes a relationship. It builds with each other. Amen.